I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk in here in the studio with Fernanda Perez. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. You also can follow us on bbs.com. Our topics tonight, we're going to cover the cut of food stamps and how they have affected some Georgians and especially children. Also, there's been a new mayor elected over in Clarkston. And also, we're going to talk about Veterans Day. So, Ms. Perez, what is your first topic?
Well, on Tuesday, November 5th, we actually had Election Day. And Mr. Ted Terry won. And he actually... Clarkston had a new mayor, and the city of Chamblee got the nod from 61% of its voters to annex a chunk of unincorporated DeKalb. Two-year Clarkston resident Ted Terry defeated incumbent mayor Emmanuel Ransom on November 5th, winning 52.7% of the votes in an official result from the DeKalb County elections. Abraham Ransom finished third in the three-way race with 18.9% of the vote. Abraham Sufi, who is a refugee, ran for mayor, and he got 28.3%, finishing second. So that's really cool. It was very close. But, yeah, a new mayor came to the city of Clarkston, and his name is Ted Terry. So he's going to get signed in January. He's going to start in January. So I guess we'll find out how good this mayor is. Hopefully he's going to be good because we need a lot of change. So I feel like he is. He's been talking a lot, and he's been saying a lot of things that he wants to change and do. So I have hope in him, and I'm pretty sure he can do it. What do you think?
Well, I hope to change. When I've gone over to Clarkston, I see the bulk of, it's like a melting pot. Seems like the bulk of the population is immigrants. So I hope the change is for them and not the kind of change when you look down and they've run out. And the community changes in another way for people with money. So I hope the change is change for everybody there, not just for a certain group of people. And then you look over there and somebody saying, oh, we've developed Clarkston to the point of we have this and that. That's good to go that way, but let's make everything affordable for people who are there now can still live there and not be run out. So I hope this is a positive change and not a money grab to get certain people out, because it seems strange to me you're moving to an area, you've only been there 2 years, and voila, you want to be the mayor. So
I agree. The funny thing about politics, too, is that at the election days and you're campaigning and stuff, you say things, make them sound really, really awesome, but when it comes to it, they don't really accomplish or do the things they said they will. So hopefully he will do them. Because it would really, really help the community here in Clarkston. And like you said, hopefully they won't get greedy, don't do anything that will harm them or, like, do something for themselves and not the people. So, but only time will tell. So we will see in a couple months.
Yeah, so let's hope there's a positive change. I mean, you need some shops, but let's make sure it's something that everybody can afford and not just a certain group starts to move back in there. Because basically... that's the bulk of the population, and there a lot of people moved out and really never looked back. So let's hope there's nobody around saying, well, let's go back and get that property and run these people off from there. So we need a positive change, not a negative change. So we shall see in a couple of months. I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk with Fernanda Perez. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic.
The day that I've heard of, no more paradise for all to see. Rain down your joy, rain down your peace.
all this hate. We must depend on another to exist. Different races, different faces. Let's get together, learn from each other, then we'll grow.
I'm Ezell Clark here on Cigar Radio. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. I'm here in studio with Mr. Fernando Perez here on Community Talk. It's a talk show that talks about what's going on in the community and the world. Our next topic is about the changes that food stamps has brought about to over 2 million Georgians. So to me, when I heard that on the news, that's some people said it was ugly, that you wanted people to starve, but look closely at the food stamp system. There may be a lot of people who just out there abusing the system. So I think this system needs to be fixed. You know, maybe do a little eking and tweaking there, you know, see who really needs what and who don't need something. I mean, even if you're on food stamp, that don't mean you go start on food stamps when you was 2. And then next thing you know, you're looking around, you're 62 and you're still drawing food stamps. So you mean tell me you're 60 years bad time. So we have to be careful of who we award things. I know people say, oh, we use that to feed people, but some people will fleece the system if you're not careful. So I'm going to give you a little information about it. A recession spurred boost in food stamp benefit ended last week, leaving recipients with less assistance and Congress to debate what happened to the entire $80 billion a year program. Whatever its decision, a lot of Georgians have a stake. More than 4 years after the official end of the recession, the state job market is still weak, and nearly 2 million Georgians, almost half of them children or school-age youth, are fed in part through the use of food stamps. The Supplemental Nutrients Assistance Program, known as SNAP, provides help to 19.7% of the state's population, according to federal figures. Food stamp use ballooned in the years after the economy plunged into recession, with the biggest surge as the economy hit bottom in 2009. But the recovery has been slow and the number of participants has remained higher than historical norms. In Georgia, the number of food stamp participants dipped 1.3% between July 2012 and July 2013, while the U.S. figure rose 1.7%. This is a system here, I think, that's been abused for years and years. I mean, people, I think some people just go down there to the office and fill out paperwork and know how to play the system, you know, lay things out. But we have to be careful with people, the things we hand out to people. Some people are pretend as if they're hungry or whatever, but you got to look at it. What have they gone out to get any work, look for some, honestly, or are you just sitting back and relaxing? I have a neighbor, and I think they are what I would call a abuse of food stamps. They have a Cadillac Escalade, and they don't work anywhere. Feel like they just look over and smoking dope and go out, and if they do, they just go a little, do a little piddling job. Now, how in the world are you affording a Cadillac Escalade and living in the house? What me and my wife have to get out and go pay for, but I never see you leave your house, and you're driving in a vehicle that costs a whole lot of money, but you know how to play the system. So whatever little money that you're bringing in somewhere, you manage to put that in your pocket, and we're feeding you. And I don't think that's right for you to sit back up under the shade tree, go do a little peddling job, whatever money you make off of, you put in your pocket and live the high life. So others are out there getting out working, but you don't want to be responsible for buying your own food. I never saw the use in food stamp. I mean, we grew up poor. My family had, my grandfather had hogs, chickens, and whatever else name you could on the land. And we wanted food, we go out and kill it. We didn't go wait for the government to hand you something. I mean, the government, if you look at it, some things they put out don't make your life better. I don't see how food stamps made anybody's life better. It's basically, to me, almost like a financial handicap, like in a wheelchair that doesn't allow you to do anything in life but sit back and wait on the government. And unfortunately now, in this time, that we got a lot of people sitting back waiting on the government, and it may be intentionally sitting back waiting on the government. So now they're trying to fix something that they created and never bothered to pay any attention to it. So I guess a lot of people reading the Bible that God fed the people with a loaf of bread and a fish, so somebody wanted to feel like they was feeding the hungry people. But now it's pretty much it's breaking the government, so now the Republican Party want to take something from it and fix it. So I guess they figured they couldn't stop the Obamacare, now they want to fix the food stamps. But almost, to me, a little too late to try to fix this program. Soon, once you cut any more off of it, it's going to be a group of people who get up in arms who don't use food stamps, but figure they're saving the people once again, so they'll be out protesting that you're picking on poor folks or a certain group of people. But the black folks are not the face of food stamps. Hispanics are not the face of food stamps. Most people who are on food stamps are white, followed by the blacks and Hispanics. So we can't say, oh, the Hispanics and blacks are the one on food stamps. So we are on those things, but we're not the bulk of the people. So that's probably somebody say, yeah, I'm going to cut those two groups off. Those two groups, they get them, but not as much as the white people. So we shouldn't be somewhere thinking we're going to cut a group of people out when you're going to cut your own self out. To me, I really don't care, because I think you should get out and earn your own food. I mean, I pay for my house, my car, and my food, and it feels good to get out and work for it. So I never wanted anybody to hand me anything in that manner. So let's get out and do what we need to do, and let's stop sitting up under the shade tree waiting for somebody to hand us something. So what do you think of that, Ms. Perez?
Well, those are very interesting facts that you just said. I had no idea. But I agree with you. There's many people that need the food stamps, but you can't really live off of them forever. You should really be looking for a job and keep pushing yourself, because if you want to get anywhere, you're going to have to do that. And you can't depend on the government in giving you food stamps the whole time, because now they're actually lowering the price of the money you get for each food stamp. And for many families across America, that's a huge problem, because they're cutting back on the money for food stamps. And so you should really be looking for a job. This is supposed to be a temporary help for anybody out there that doesn't really have enough money to feed their family and stuff like that. So it's just temporary help. So you should really look for jobs, look for something else to do while you have the food stamps. And then once you get a job and you can pay for your own food, you should leave the food stamps for somebody that really needs them. So look for a job, work hard, and don't depend on the government as much as you are right now. If you have been in food stamps for a couple years now. So what do you think, Isel?
I think you're here in America is the land of opportunity. Most people probably say, no, it's not, or whatever. I've been held back. But That was years ago. Your ancestors was held back. You here in America, you should be thriving to be better, you know, trying to do something. I don't care if you're going to learn how to do hair. I mean, that's a business. Maybe one day you can learn how to open up your own hair shop. I mean, anything that you find, you can turn into a business, long as it's legal, man. We don't want to be out doing something that's illegal, but we shouldn't be sitting back waiting on somebody to hand us something. So we're going to give a little information of who's on it and about the income. Eligibility varies, but for a family of four, the income cap is $28,665. 26% has zero gross income. 61% have income below poverty line. 13% has income above poverty line. And 33% of households include someone working. So this is a bunch of stuff here that appears to me that some of these people go out and get jobs, but maybe we go out and get jobs that we know are not for, I'm going to say ain't for grown folks. When I see a grown person working in McDonald's or Starbucks and he tells me he has a family, maybe you could have looked a little harder or whatever. You just took the first thing to keep your benefits alive. So you got three or four people in your house, and you know good and well that working in Starbucks and McDonald's ain't going to pay those things. So you may be trying to scam the system. So if you're lacking in education or some type of skill while you're working there, I mean, don't quit the job. Go there and maybe at night or whenever your shift is not going on, try to learn as much as possible you do so you can get off food stamps.
And like you said, this is the land of opportunities too. So you need to push yourself and you can achieve anything. It's not easy. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's probably going to take a couple of years. But the more you try, the more you learn, the more possibilities you'll have in the end. And it can take a year, 5 years, 10 years. But in the long run, it's going to be so worth it. So find any time you have, anything, even nights, read, get more education, get more information, and you will be able to do whatever you want to do.
Exactly. So you need to be trying to reach for the stars, not sit back and say, oh, well, I got me a little money to buy me a carton of cigarettes and some beer, and my stamps will be in the mail soon. So, and I've been in the grocery store and observed, been in that shopping and seen some of the people who's getting those stamps. You're basically buying stuff that appears to be unhealthy anyway, more like a something the teenager would buy, a whole bunch of frozen foods and pizzas and instant dinners. I mean, you can't grow your body on that stuff properly and be healthy. So when you depend on somebody and waiting for the government to hand you something, usually they hand you something that is not worth nothing. So let's get out and do our part and stop waiting on it. I mean, if you are of a 62 or better than me and you need a little food stamps to help you tide over, okay, you worked, you've earned your time, so you need it. But you one of these people 18 to 40 something and able to work and your hands work, your mind work and your back work, and you just chose not to work, you might be taking advantage of the system, and you need to be the one that maybe get fixed up. Sometimes you know, showing tough love to somebody or straighten you out. So once again, let's be making sure we're doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Now we're going to tell you about the ethnicity of people on food stamps. 30% white, 23% African American, 10% Hispanic, and 30% other unknown. So you got the two groups that was been in America for the longest, and they're the one, you combine them together, that's 60%. And a lot of people was hollering about, oh, the Hispanics are coming over here taking our jobs or whatever. Maybe there was jobs out there for the whites and the African Americans, and they chose not to get it. Hispanic hit the ground running and working, all but 10% of them, and the rest of us just sit back and keep abusing. So I'm pretty sure if we check thoroughly, we'll see that the bulk of the population on food stamps is white and African American abusing the system and hollering about somebody taking their job. So the bulk of these people are the one who was screaming the loudest about something being taken from them. But I don't know if the bulk of the Hispanics or anybody else who comes to America want to be on food stamps. And if they do, it's probably a small percent, as we've seen. So what's your take on that, Ms. Perez?
Exactly. Like what you said, those are very, very interesting facts. I had no idea the white community were the ones taking the most food stamps. And like you said, Hispanics just took the floor running. They were the ones that know that it's, if you want anything, you have to try. You have to work hard for it. And at the beginning, it's going to be really tough, but it's going to get easier the harder you work and the longer you work for. So just keep trying very hard, and eventually, hopefully, you won't need any food stamps anymore. And actually, people in need will get them.
That's where it should be, for people who are in need and temporary. I think we ought to put an age limit on food stamps like we did with Social Security. On Social Security, you got to be 62 or better to draw it. But here with food stamps, anybody could draw it. So I'm pretty sure if we take the age limit off Social Security, next thing you know, you'll have somebody 21 years of older saying he's going to draw that and hadn't done any time. So you have to be careful about the programs you put out there and don't put any guidelines on it, because eventually people will take advantage of it and just keep taking and taking. So you just got to be careful. I mean, you'd be surprised that people running around in Congress and whatever, they had all this education, but seeing like they all been asleep at the wheel for a very long time. And then they just, whoever got the presidency at the time, and they just heap the blame on them and say, oh, you the one who did it. But to me, overall, it's been a bad job pretty much by all of them, the monitoring this stuff. Now it's out of hand. And we have a group, one party hollering dirty poo, and the other one is hollering, okay, we can't cut that off that. So somewhere we need to find common ground, and let's stop doing all this nonsense. So, and also, we're going to go by the age. 47% of recipients are school-age children or younger. 7% are elderly, and 46% non-elderly adults. So, so that's a big population cut from 46% non-elderly adults. So you mean you have somebody who's 21 or better drawing food stamps. And like I said, if your hands are working, your back, your leg, and your arms, and your mind, you need to be out working, not sitting down waiting for something to be handed to you. So I'm very shocked that 7% of the elderly are only drawing that. I mean, you've done your time, and maybe you need a little money to help you get some groceries or whatever. I mean, that should be for you. But a youngster is what I'm going to call them. You don't need to be doing that. So what's your take on that, Ms. Perez?
Wow, I really had no idea. The young ones are supposed to be brand new, ready to work, new minds, new experiences. They're supposed to be out there getting jobs, good jobs, and more education. They're supposed to be the ones hungry for more. And that really shocks me that they're not. They're the ones getting the most food stamps, the ones not really getting jobs like at McDonald's or low-paid jobs. And you really have so much input in you, and you should really go out there and get more information, work harder. And like I said, it's going to be hard, but it's not going to be impossible. And the more time and more time you put into all your education, you will be able to accomplish more. Education, in my opinion, is key. If you have good education, if you really work hard, and if you read a lot, get a lot of research information, you can really get anywhere you want. So education is key. It really is.
So all those who's out there saying, look, I don't have a high school diploma, whatever, I mean, get involved in the program to get your diploma. Then once you get the diploma, go to trade school or something if that's what you want to do. Maybe even go to get into college. Just stop saying the things that I can't do and start doing. I mean, you're here in America. Basically, everybody in the world is pretty much passing us by. You wanted to try to keep the Hispanics out of here, but between the both of the groups, people are passing you by while you're sitting there arguing or trying to figure out something, how to scam somebody. I think what has really happened here, the bulk of us are lazy, and we're just used to being handed some stuff. Now the world is changing, and we're slow to accept those changes. So we need to get out and start to reaching for the stars and stop sitting down worrying about what's on TV at that time when you should be working. So, or just sitting around using drugs. I mean, that's another thing too. Some of us want to go out and smoke maybe a little marijuana here or there. So, you know, you ain't going to pass a drug test to get a job. So you're drawing the stamps and whatever and saying that you're not able to work. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not able to work if you're using drugs. So what's your take on that, Ms. Perez?
Yeah, like you said, you really need to think about the future. You really need to think of what things that you'll do now will cost not to get a job. For example, smoking some pot or stuff like that will not help you not get a job in the future. So you need to think right now, what will help me if I do or if I don't do it? What will help me for my future? And you should really push yourself. This is the country of opportunities. You can really do anything you set your mind to. And it's like everything looks impossible until someone does it. So just push yourself, and you can do anything.
And what's really shocking is that nearly 2 million Georgians receive food stamps. So, wow, you're talking about, look at it, I guess about 8 million people is in the whole state. So you're talking about 2 million of them receiving food stamps. So that's a lot of people to be in this state to be drawing food stamps. So we need to be doing better than what we're doing, not sitting around here. Let's leave the stamps to the elderly. If you're young and able to work, let's get to work. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk, here in the studio with Fernanda Perez. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Cigar Radio. And you also can follow us on bbsradio.com. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic.
You, and I miss you, and I need you. Sorry, just ain't good enough. You forced your way into my life, my time and space, but that was alright. With the time I gave to love, your mind, your soul, your everything. You wanted.
to be the one to change my mind and make my heart beat just like before. Am I in love with you?
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk Radio. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Cigar Radio. I'm here in studio with Ms. Fernanda Perez. And our next topic is going to be talking about an Atlanta program and projects called Villa Cap that's starting in Clarkston. So if you want to be in some type of business and you live in Clarkston, this will be the information for you. So take it away, Ms. Perez.
Well, this is an Emory page. It's an Emory website, and the website is gosueta.emory.edu/faculty/social-enterprise/field/atlanta.html. And it is, in early 2013, SEAG partnered with Village Capital and CDF, a collective action initiative to design and offer a 14-week small business accelerator program to entrepreneurs in Clarkston, Georgia. This program offered 15 participants an opportunity to participate in an intensive skills-based program, meet and work with a panel of banking experts, and be mentored by and network with a carefully selected group of business leaders and peers. This also pre-committed $30,000 so that the most promising entrepreneurs, as selected by the participants themselves, receive low-interest business loans at the end of the program. The program will be repeated in January 2014. So this is just a webpage saying if you want to do any kind of business, you should definitely go check it out. It is an Emory website from Goizueta Business School. And the link again is goizueta.emory.edu/faculty/social-enterprise/field/atlanta.html. So definitely go check this out. It looks really, really helpful for anybody that's looking for stuff like this. And it's open to any Clarkston resident. And it's Ville Cap Start Clarkston. So definitely go check it out.
So there's anybody there over in Clarkston who wants to be in the business. And like we read earlier about being on food stamps. If you have business savvy about yourself and you want to better yourself, I mean, here's a program for you. I mean, go over there with your business, and at the end of the program, you might be the one to get the $30,000 and open up you a small shop and go from there. So anybody with over there who wants to be in the business, I would advise you to go check it out and enter into the program and learn all you can. So we're going to go on to our next topic. This topic is about a young girl's death. About the, to me, I'm going to call the two parents, you know, a couple of crazy nuts, you know, starve out your own flesh and blood and then give them poison and try to burn the body. I mean, you're just some type of nutcake. But you have to often wonder, where's the defect at? I mean, if you came to the house, surely you should have seen signs of something that wasn't right. But unfortunately, a lot of people who maybe have state jobs or whatever, you're required to go out to somebody's house. You go out there and say, okay, I went to the house, and, you know, you didn't check thoroughly. You just want to get in and out of there, go somewhere and sit down or whatever, and put in your report that perhaps you spent that kind of time over at those people's houses. But unfortunately, you didn't check it out. Now this young girl has lost her life due to somebody, you know, half-checking something, because I'm pretty sure you'd have looked thoroughly. You'd have seen the signs that was going on, but this wasn't no thorough job of checking. So now we have somebody's dead. So I'm going to read out the information. On Halloween night, Emmon Moss and his wife Tiffany drove to a secluded part of Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to try to make his 10-year-old daughter, Emmon, disappear. That was a Thursday. The girl had died the day before. Emmon Moss, 30, told Gwinnett County Homicide Detective Colin Flynn when police found her body early Saturday morning, stuffed in an aluminum trash can. Emmon weighed just 32 pounds. She had weighed 60 pounds in May. Moss said his wife had persuaded him to get rid of the body so they could keep their family, which included two younger children, together. Flynn testified Friday at a probable cause hearing on the felony murder charge filed against the Lawrenceville native. So this guy actually was the father of the baby. The lady was the stepmother. He allowed his wife or whoever it was to talk him into letting her kill his own flesh and blood. And once the police came in, he was quick to, he actually one called the police over there a couple of days later and pointed out to the trash can and said that the girl accidentally swallowed poison, but knowing full well the wife gave it to her. So he later had a conscience and tried to tell, but to me, you should have done everything possible to stop that in the first place, though, because if I had a wife and had a daughter that wasn't bodies, my wife, and she tried those things, she'd be out and already turned up to the law. But unfortunately, now he wanted to run his mouth when it was too late. Even when his mother begged him to bring the child over there and let her keep him, but said he wanted to keep his family together. But obviously, this woman he was with didn't want no part of that, of his child. So, and the defect had come out to the house and checked, but they said they didn't see anything wrong. But in May, she was 60 pounds, and when they came out, she was 32 pounds. So of all those times you came out, I'm pretty sure you did a visual check. You could see the difference in the weight, but you didn't see anything wrong. So that also, persons who came out to that house should be punished too. You go out being lazy and just go there and say you went there but took no action. So all this stuff here is just crazy. If somebody would have taken action when they went to the house, little girl may still be alive now, but now we're going to have to arrest the two parents, and the girl is gone, and the people are taking a close look at the defect and wondering what they're doing when they are faced with situations like this. So what is your take on this, Ms. Perez?
That is very, very unbelievable that a dad could do something like that to their own kid and even lie to the police. It's just crazy. It's surreal to me. And it's just really sad that she was so young and she had a short life. But it just, and the thing, yeah, that they lied to the police. I can't believe they actually thought they could get away from this or away from it. And that's just very, very sad. I have no words for it.
The stepmother was already on probation for beating a little girl in 2010 with a belt, so she was the one who came up with the idea of burning the body, hopefully it would disintegrate into ash. But I don't know, the stepmother seems to suffering from some type of mental issues. I mean, to do that to a little 10-year-old, you know, give them poison and then set the body on fire, and, you know, all the while before you starving the child out, just doesn't appear to be right. I mean, every time you turn on the news, it's either somebody using a gun somewhere on somebody, or you got somebody abducting children, or somebody doing something crazy with this. I mean, it appears to me in this world that we just don't care what we do, from sitting around, you know, trying to build the country off food stamps, to going around with your gun instead of going to hunt animals with it, go into the mall or whatever, schools, and shoot people, or to just killing your own flesh and blood. I mean, it appears like now we've just lost our way. I remember a couple of years ago, after the 9/11 attack, there were some people called the people in the Middle East savages. I mean, I'm pretty sure now the people in the Middle East look over here and say, okay, they're the ones who are the savages, the Americans. They can't call us savages. People in the Middle East, yeah, they may lay down bombs and try to blow you up, but if you look at it, we're doing the same thing. We're not building the bomb, but we're going to the schools and the malls and do bad things. We kill our own children for no reason. So we also could put ourselves in that category too. So what do you think about that, Ms. Perez?
Yeah, you really need to think about it before you do anything that's going to harm you for the rest of your life and harm others. Like, you should never, ever even think of harming anybody else. You're going to have to live with it for the rest of your life. You're going to get punished for it. There's no excuse for taking someone else's life away, especially somebody, well, anybody, but just the fact that this little girl was the own flesh and blood of the dad, and he did something like that. That's just crazy. But you should definitely never take anybody's life away. Everybody, it's supposed to live, and they all want to live in peace. But there's some people out there that just don't. Something, they feel like they've been wronged, or they need to do something about it, so they just go out there and do things they shouldn't, and they end up paying the price. And you really need to think about what you do.
Actually, the father was at work when all this went on. He said he came home and found the little girl, Emma, in the bathtub, body seized up. His wife had given the girl poison. But instead of him taking her to the hospital, he said he didn't want to get his wife in trouble, so they just left her to die. So he knew better, but the actions he took had gotten him involved. So he probably was there, probably, you know, trying to keep the peace between the wife and the girl, and trying to look out more for the wife, but obviously the wife was crazy. So his actions, you know, got him, gonna get him some time in the jailhouse with the wife for concealing stuff and not taking the girl out to the hospital when you had the opportunity to. So, or turning the wife up long ago. So he just got himself involved with lying and trying to protect her. He may then, his only part in the crime may have been trying to conceal it and help the wife. Now, he's going to be charged with the murder, too, along with his wife. So sometimes you go around here and keep bad company and try to look out for people who you think have your best interests. But unfortunately, his wife didn't have his best interests and is taking his own flesh and blood out of this world due to some probably emotional problem. So what's your take on that?
Okay, now you cleared up that the mom was the one that poisoned the girl and the dad was the one that found the body. And... well, that's still the same thing as, since he didn't do anything about it, he didn't go to the police, he tried to hide it. You should never do that. You should definitely, even if you love the person, if you know they did something wrong, you should definitely go tell the police, go tell somebody, because you don't know what they're capable of anymore. And it's really sad, really, really sad that the mom would do something like that, especially to her little girl. And you should definitely tell somebody if you see something going on, such like that. The dad should have said something. Now he's going to have to follow punishment just like the mom. And it's just really sad seeing a family just crumble just like that. It's very, very sad.
So sometimes even the company you keep, whether it's just somebody you're hanging out with or you're married to, could take you down the wrong road. And this is a classic example of going down the wrong road. But to me... whoever this person is, obviously he didn't know the person very long or whatever, just up and married her, because while you was dating, surely you had to show some type of signs of being very weird and strange. So it's another classic example of you know, just rushing in and marrying somebody, and the person you rushed in and married goes home, goes to your house, and does harm to your child. So we must be careful who we associate ourselves with, or you're going to find yourself in bad trouble. So this guy's learning the hard way. He's lost his daughter, going to lose his freedom, and the marriage he was so hard, trying hard to protect, wasn't worth anything anyway. So now he's lost in all kind of cause. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk with Fernando Perez. We're on Cigar Radio every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're also on the bbsradio.com. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic.
With the playovers taken, when you were waiting there with us in sincerity, oh, you've always been so patient. Through the breakups and the makeups, you showed me honesty, respect until I did you wrong. Baby, your days are over.
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. here on Cigar Radio. I'm here in the studio with Ms. Fernando Perez, and she's going to come back with the next topic about a space program.
We just wanted to finish on a lighter note today, and today we're going to be talking about India, that on Tuesday they actually launched their first spacecraft bound for Mars, and it became the fourth space program to visit the Red Planet after the Soviet Union, the United States, and Europe. So it is an article about the New York Times, and it says, India on Tuesday launched its first spacecraft bound for Mars, a complex mission that it hopes will demonstrate an advanced technologies for space travel. Hundreds of people watched the rocket carrying the Mars orbiter take off from the east coast island of Srikarikota and strike across the sky. Many more across the country watched live TV broadcasts. Officials at the Space Center described it as a textbook launch. If the mission is successful, India will become only the fourth space program to visit the Red Planet, after the Soviet Union, the United States, and Europe. Capturing and igniting the young minds of India and across the globe will be the major return from this mission, Mission Director P. Kunikrinkan said from the launch site. After 44 minutes, the orbiter separated from the rocket and entered into an elliptical path around Earth. Over the next 20 to 25 days, it will perform a series of technical maneuvers and short burns to raise its orbit before it slingshots towards Mars. So this is supposed to land or go to Mars by next September of 2014. So this is a really, really exciting project, and I really can't wait to see what more information we'll be getting from that.
Well, hopefully that's a good thing that turns out for them. I mean, our space program, we was spending a whole lot of money. I mean, appeared to be getting very little results, so we scrapped it. And I think we combined with other countries. You know, some of our astronauts go into space with other countries, and I think that's a good thing. You know, you don't have to foot the bill to build all that equipment. So I think when the space program first came about, that the U.S. wanted to beat some other countries to the moon. So we managed to do that. I don't think nobody else is tempted to go back there anyway. So now all those countries should join in and have a space program. Nobody should be an individual unless you got a whole lot of money. So what's your take on that, Ms. Perez?
Yeah, I think it's so, so cool. We really should have more money towards space. I heard that less than a penny for every tax dollar goes to NASA, which is very, very sad. We should be getting a lot more money for that, because we're going to space in the 60s. We actually learned so much stuff, and we actually know how our world works now. We actually know how it looks like, what happens in space, new information we're getting. Maybe someday, hopefully, find some extraterrestrial life out there, which would be very, very cool. But we need the money to do so. So hopefully the government will be giving more money towards this amazing, amazing project. So
that was a good thing. Ending on a lighter note, I'm Ezell Clark here in the studio with Ms. Fernanda Perez. We're on Community Talk every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're also on Cigar Radio, and also you can listen to us on the bbsradio.com. So we're going to go back to more music and close out the show.
I cry a lot when I realize that you're not here. But I know that God's care, there's nothing to fear, nothing to fear. Rest and peace seems so far. Jesus, till it calls me, and I.